Hello, Be The Nation. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
We're going to share some stuff with you today. I want to read first at New Living Translation. It's out of Proverbs. We had talked about wisdom, remember? And this is in the same chapter, in chapter 3. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it.
Right.
When it's in your power to help them. Remember, we just went through on the last podcast. If it was in your power to help somebody, you're in a hurricane, that you have a boat, you have some food,
right. You
have the means to help them, and you do not do it. What's worse is having the word of God and not helping people. When it's in your power to help somebody, do not withhold good from those who deserve it. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. Help them right now.
Right.
What are we waiting on? Don't plot harm against your neighbor. For those who live nearby, trust you. You know, it's like, hold on a minute, because it says, if you can help your neighbor right now, don't say come back tomorrow.
Right.
And I can't tell you different times in my life, how many times in my life somebody says, you know, they find out you need something. They're around for this chaos or thing you need or whatever. And they're like, hey, let me know if you still need that in a week. Has anybody ever said something like that to you? I know they have. Like, let me know if you still need that. Like, let me know. Like, why do I have to let you know later if you can help me right now?
Wow.
Just do it now. Right. It's crazy. Come back tomorrow, then I'll help you. Don't plot harm against your neighbor. For those who live nearby, trust you. Don't pick a fight without reason when no one has done you harm. I mean, there's enough fight for those who have.
Right.
We certainly don't need to be fighting with people who haven't done us harm. Don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Such wicked people are detestable to the Lord, but he offers his friendship to the godly.
Yeah.
God's friendship.
Come on.
Whoa, that's big.
Yeah.
Whoa. You know, because sometimes your friend don't have what you need, but God always does.
Right. Yeah.
Your friend don't have the power, don't have the means to do something, but God always does.
Right.
Come on. So being a friend of God is very beneficial. Amen. So it says here, the Lord curses the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the upright. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, they might look like they're getting ahead for a little bit.
Right.
But they're not. And they will be put to shame. So don't be a fool, right?
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay. So let me get some things out. There's so much to get out. Ronald Walton, I want to say hello to you and Chill Building in Gibb Lewis.
Awesome.
They say there's a new classification over there. Did he say it was like ECB or something like that?
I don't know.
But they call it Chill Building. Anyway, they need heat. They have a heat restrictions or, you know, stuff like that. I'm going to say hello to Indian Town, Florida, Martin CI over there. It's been a while since I heard from any of you guys, but I did. And you're never forgotten. I'm telling you, you're never forgotten from the first letter that I got from somebody. He said, we're going to turn it into Miracle Martin.
Come on. Yeah.
And so I'm believing God with you. And I'm sure that it is happening. You know, these tablets have been a game changer. In the body of Christ.
Yes.
It has let so many people hear the word of God that we're not. And it is changing things. So for sure. Luther Unit, John Mathis says hello to his brother, Bobby Mathis on Cofield. You know, I don't take shout outs. We can't anymore. You know, people do send me shout outs in every way on the website, in the message,
Facebook,
letter, but we don't do the big shout outs anymore. I do what God says, what I have time for, what's in front of me, that kind of thing, you know, and it's amazing. It's pretty amazing what God has done with just that little thing, you know, but anyway, North Carolina, hello. I'm getting lots of letters from there. Nashville, North Carolina, in Raleigh, Pastor Texas in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who was a trucker, I think. Hello. Let's see. Eugene in Sacramento, California. I want to say hello to you. Let's see. I want to say it's pretty amazing to meet family in every state.
Yeah.
I don't think we have pins missing.
There's two states that we're missing. Yeah.
Sam.
We're missing Delaware and Alaska.
Okay, correct. So Delaware and Alaska, if anybody over there is hearing us, we need you to write a letter because we don't stick a pin in the map until you do write. We do have a lot of, I think me and Andy put 30 at least new pins yesterday.
We got to show the map.
Yeah.
The map is so huge now that you can't, I couldn't even tell. But it's all stuck like Chuck in the right side of the map for sure.
Wow.
It's crazy how many we're getting. I got new ones today that we haven't put up yet. Let's see, what else? Securus tablets, those that you have Securus tablets, except for Texas G4 through Death Row, you guys will get the audio podcasts of us. Go to the podcast app and type in Real V the Podcast, and you will see us there. Lots of people have been finding them and listening to them, and they're like, I really like the audio as well. There's 40 of them at least that we have not put on video. Yeah. So you will enjoy those. I want to say hello to Torres Unit. Let's see. Oh yeah, by the way, do not write Jessica, do not write Ada, and do not write Sam. They're not going to get the letters. They're not looking for them. They don't want them. So do not write to them. Keep your love letters to yourself and write them home, write them to your ex or whoever you're writing to, but don't write them here. I don't have time for it. You know,
right.
I don't have time.
Andale, la chancla viene.
Viene la chancla in a big way,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, can I not put up women? You know, I don't have, it's not, the women don't do that. When we have a male guest, all the women aren't like, you know, camels in heat writing and going, look, yeah. You know, can I get with whoever,
right.
You know, yeah. What I mean? But anytime we have a single woman on here, we're getting letters like crazy. Can you pass this song? Can you hook me up? Can you get on my Securus? All of that. They're not looking for that. And I assure you're going to be the last person they write because yeah. You are doing that. So don't do that. And it's not going to happen. And I have enough letters of people that really need ministry, have questions, that are pouring things out that are important, you know? And there's yeah. So many of those. And then we've got to waste time opening letters with you trying to hook up with somebody on this podcast. It's never going to happen. Not here. Okay.
Yeah.
So no love letters anymore. What else? What do you got, hun?
Well, I was going to shout out some of the new map pins and cities.
Okay.
Atmore, Alabama, Leakesville, Mississippi, Oswego, New York, Cambridge, Missouri, Lambertville, New Jersey, Dartmouth, Massachusetts, Hillsboro, West Virginia. West Virginia has gone crazy. We
right.
Got pins everywhere yeah. In West Virginia. Airway Heights, Washington, Monticello, Florida, Seminole, Florida, Loxley, Alabama, Calico Rock, Arkansas, Pottsville, PA, Kimmel, Indiana. And there is a pin in Halawea, Hawaii.
Okay.
But if you're from Halawea and wrote us, we cannot find the name of your city the way that it was spelled. So please, we don't even know what island it's on. So right now I've stuck it in some city that sounds like your name, Haleiwa on Oahu, but I don't know if that's wrong. So if you wrote us, please correct us. So obviously, like Eve said, we're down to Delaware and Alaska. We're waiting on you guys. South Dakota finally got a pin
that's
on
right.
The map this
yeah.
Last week. We're super proud
right.
Of you guys.
And I was looking. There are several facilities in South Dakota that are listening to us. I looked at the Viapath
so if you
data.
Can, oh, yeah. So they're listening, but we haven't had letters from all of them yet.
Correct.
So we need letters from you guys because we won't put it on the map until we do get a letter, although we can see you online that you are listening.
Yeah.
There's so much to say, you guys. Cofield Suggers, I heard from, you know, a couple Cofield Suggers. It's been a long time. How are you guys doing?
Hey.
I hope that you are behaving. I'm going to find out. And I'm going to come your way. So
yeah.
You guys act right. You know, be good to each other.
Right.
If things are going to change there and they're going to let you do more, it's going to be according to your behavior, you know?
Right.
So please, please get it together and act right. Somebody asked why we're like far apart apparently, but it's for the camera's sake. That way, you know, he can separate it or what have you, that we sit, my husband and I, the way we do for camera's sake.
We really anyway. Love each other. There's not any hidden message here.
Yeah. Somebody asked me that today. Let's yeah. See. Valley Unit in Gatesville? I never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody wrote today and said, I've never heard you mention it. I didn't know it existed. It's a women's unit.
What's that?
Okay.
How it spells?
There's a bunch of women's units.
It's this Valley Unit.
Valley
I don't know.
Unit?
Okay.
I've never
I don't
heard
know.
Of that. So see, you
hello,
don't know
Valley
either.
Unit.
Hello, okay. If
yeah,
there's
hey.
A Valley Unit.
How y'all doing?
To you, right. Let's see. Sandoval County Detention Center in New Mexico, DPOD. Hello to you guys.
Awesome.
First time we heard from you. All the women's prisons in Gatesville and the jails and prisons all over the USA. I think our women don't write as much
right.
And don't get as much recognition. So I want to say hello to all you guys. Flow and High Security in Clements Unit. Hello. Bowling Green, Missouri, NECC, Chicago, Illinois. Awesome. Hello to Chicago. Let's see. And again, we don't do shout outs like we used to. It's impossible. So don't send me shout outs. Do all these shout outs. It's going to be in letters or just different ways that God does it or what have you. If we did the shout outs that everybody sends, it would take the entire podcast. Yes. We would never be able to do anything else but that. So we can't do that.
Right.
Our address, people say, I keep having a hard time finding your address, or they're having people look up our address when it's at the end of every podcast.
Right.
So if you'll wait after the podcast is over and, you know, the picture flashes up with us, also it is our address on there too.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So it's on there. So if you need the address, it's at the end of the podcast. I don't and I can't write everyone. So I do have people writing me and saying, you know, well, I've been waiting. My letter is by podcast. If I write even a small fraction of people, it's so many people. There's no guarantee that anyone, but I will be on podcast. That's what we do. And that's why we do it, is so we can reach everybody, the millions that we have access to. Okay. Let's see. God is moving on Clement's unit big.
Amen.
And I want to say thank you to all the soldiers there of God that are working in any capacity to anyone. And, you know, yes, of course, G4 and 5 and Seggers and, you know, all that are there, but also just in general population. There's need. There are hurting people everywhere. And if you are a soldier of God that works for God, we appreciate you so much. And we are one body. And I know it's a struggle sometimes. We're in it together. And that sure helps. And we have God. Robertson Seggers, Swerline, hello to you. And we haven't heard that much from you guys lately. So I'm glad that you're still watching and listening. Big Mike, of course, we love you. So, we love you guys. Robert Bryant at All Red, hola amigo. And the message. Messianic Jews and Muslims that are watching, hello, you are loved too.
Amen.
So I think I got all mine out. Is there anything else you want to?
Yeah, I want to shout out Oscar Lopez in medium custody at Hughes Unit, who on December 17th, I had the honor of being able to baptize him with a water bottle while he was
in his medium custody cell through the door, through the grate.
And I appreciate all the guys that are doing ministry back there that helped me get over there to him. So it was such an honor.
Now, you said he was a 4, he's a 5.
He's a 5, I believe. Yeah, I just said medium custody. So we also want to say hello to Ohio.
Hey.
We've gotten letters from Ohio, but we just finally got approved on our new tablets by the Department of Corrections in Ohio. ODRC. Chris got word today.
So you want to say shout out
to anybody?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Triplett? How you doing? I love you, brother.
Cool, man.
Glad you're spreading the word, man.
So the other great news today is we're going to be able to share on this podcast some pictures and video from our recent visit to Telford Unit.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Chris is going to put some of that up. And I do want to say, Eve posted some of those pictures on our Real Vita Real Talk Facebook page. It's gone crazy. Lots of people are going to the page, commenting and downloading. And I just want to say, it is such an honor for us to be able to get these pictures to the family members and to your loved ones.
Yes.
And we're doing it for free. But I do want to say, if your family's going to our Facebook page, they need to like and follow us on Facebook.
Share it. And
they need to subscribe to us on YouTube. That's the only cost to downloading these pictures and saving them. And Chris used his fancy new 8K camera. So they are some great pictures. If you haven't seen the pictures, you should go check out the Facebook
page. And tell your family to be on the lookout. I'm going to put a whole lot more video than I'm putting on this episode from Telford up on YouTube.
That's cool. Okay, so you need to go to YouTube and have them watch. And remember, you know, there are those that want to contribute financially, that if your family just watches the YouTube Real Vida TV, it's monetized.
Right.
So that would be a way to contribute. Even if you're indigent and don't have anybody, you know, have any money and can't give, and want to give, your family watching will help us, and they can order shirts.
Right.
They can sign up on YouTube to give $5 a month.
Right.
There are some family members who are giving monthly now, you know, whatever amounts, and any amount helps. And so do have them go to YouTube and subscribe and watch and listen, you know. And that helps us out a lot.
the last thing I want to do about announcements is I do want to put the units up. When we went to Bridgeport last week, we'd been talking about it for weeks on the podcast. And so sometimes I think, well, I don't want to mention every time the units we're going to, but a guy told me he heard us mention on a podcast he watched the night before we were there.
They do that a lot.
And he wouldn't have known to go unless we'd mentioned it. So I want to just give our upcoming schedule. Stringfellow unit, G4s and general population on January 13th. So coming up next week. Hodge unit, January 27th. Polunsky unit is either on the 10th or 11th of February. We're not
sure. Sunday, right?
We'll clarify. I think it's the 11th. Clements unit is on 2 days, the 25th and 26th, that we're going to be there. We're going to do some different things, including general population service and hopefully medium custody. McConnell unit, March 14th. Telford unit, March 23rd and 24th. And Michael unit, we just got that confirmed today on May 25th. Yeah. And so we do want to say, too, if you're in Florida at the Everglades Correctional Facility, I am trying to get a hold of your chaplains. We want to come see you. We want to come to Florida in May or June. So if you are close to a chaplain or work in the office or clerk, please have your chaplain reach out because we're trying to do that.
At least with an email, right? And then we can email back or what have you. We did get contacted by several chaplains in Florida, actually, even today, other than the Everglades, that want us to go. And we do want to go to as many as possible while we're there. You know, we're praying. I know God will direct it. You know, we'll do what we can. There are other chaplains contacting us from different states.
Right.
And we love you guys so much.
Lots
but,
from
you know,
Arizona, lots from
we're
Florida.
We're going to try Georgia, Missouri, there's like, we're going to try, but at least we're there by podcast all the time. And we love you all so much.
And what helps more than anything is you guys' prayers.
Absolutely. All right. So we're going to take a music break and then we'll be right back.
Gracious. God is good. Yeah, I promise to tell the truth. I once knew of a man stuck in his wicked ways and holding the devil's hand. Took advantage of people, greedy and nickel slick. Addicted to opiates, he was hooked and he couldn't quit. Not to mention methamphetamine, coke and a lot of weed. In and out of the slammer, kids that he never seen. Embarrassment to his family, wouldn't hold down a job. If you was a dope boy, you probably was getting robbed. Thought he was Casanova manipulating the women. Tongue produced poison, lips dripping with venom. That ain't even the half, stab his friends in the back. I knew this man real well, I ain't gonna cut him no slack. If you was part of his life, you know what I'm talking about. He was good at making promises, lying and walking out. He could probably make it rapping if he just put in the work. He got tired of living life in the dark and his heart hurt. So either you gon' change or stay the same. Make a decision, I know it's a cold game. But you either gon' stand up or you gon' fall. What you gon' do when your back is against the wall? Satan told me put my hands up, and I surrendered. Open my life to the demons, they all entered. I don't think that I can stand up, so I'ma fall. Nobody cares and there's no one for you to call. Paranoid all the time, feel eyes on me watching. Thinking maybe it's the feds, maybe it's Illuminati. These voices in my head, people telling me I'm crazy. Thought my wife was part of it, so I put hands on my lady. Couldn't take it no more, contemplated suicide. Family knew that I was hurting. Could see it in my eyes, started seeing things in front of me that I just can't explain. About to panic, schizophrenic, devil messing with my brain. Desperation in my life, started picking up that Bible. Suddenly something happened, something ancient, something primal. Jesus come and save me, I feel like I wanna die. Having visions, seeing angels fighting demons in the sky. Like they're fighting over me. Somehow I need to make a choice, trying to wade through the noise. I just wanna hear your voice. Satan's got our planet, evil spreading like a cancer. I can't fight it, God, I'm scared, and I'll be waiting for your answer. So either you gon' change or stay the same. Make a decision, I know it's a cold game. But you either gon' stand up or you gon' fall. What you gon' do when your back is against the wall? Satan told me put my hands up, and I surrendered. Open my life to the demons, they all entered. I don't think that I can stand up, so I'ma fall. Nobody cares and there's no one for you to call. After I reached out to God, he wrote a message on my heart. Said I knew you turned to me, my child, I planned it from the start. And them trials that you faced, I let them happen. So you listen, now your ears are tuned to me. I need you to pay attention. You asked my son to save you, now I'm making you my vessel. I'm gonna lead you in the battle, you gon' fight against the devil. Yeah, I know all about you, I know you think you're worthless. But don't question who
I choose. I see deeper than the surface. I know you don't deserve it. I know that you ain't perfect, but I changed you, son. I promise you I made you for a purpose. I know about the drugs. Your wife, I know you hit her. But listen, don't give up because I didn't make you a quitter. You couldn't fight Satan. Fell prey to his attacks. But with me, you can't defeat him. That's why I'm taking you back. A soldier for the Christ. Can't you feel the Holy Spirit? Don't question my existence or I will make an appearance. So either you gon' change or stay the same. Make a decision. I know it's a cold game, but I'm here to hold you. Stand up or you gon' fall. What you gon' do? Cause your back is against the wall. God, let me put my hands up. I surrender. Open my heart to your son. And in the end that I know you gon' help me stand up. I ain't gon' fall. I know you there and you listening when I call.
Okay, so I'm going to read this a portion of a letter. Dear Real Vida TV, I just wanted to write you all from Nashville, North Carolina. I have been Muslim for years, and I have been one of those type of people that hated the fake church people and the circus and the fashion show. And I mean, when I read those lines, wow. I was like, I love him. Man.
We're already friends.
Like, he talks like me, man. Right. He's just real with it, you know? And I like that because it's the truth. You know what, guys? I mean, why deny it? There has been fake church people. It's been a circus and it has been a fashion show, right. You know? Wow. God doesn't, your clothes don't matter. Now, modesty matters. Okay.
Yes.
But your clothes, whether you're, got khakis on, and Dickies or whatever, it's not, you know, versus a suit.
Any less holy.
My goodness, right. Lord right. Jesus, yeah. Help us. And so, you know, that's the truth, the fashion show. We used to go to a church when we were little, we'd visit it and everybody was so dressed up. We called it the solid gold church.
Okay.
Do you remember that? Solid gold. Like, you know, they put all Dionne Warwick was there, right?
Wow.
It was the solid gold church.
Wow.
And, you know, everybody was dressed up and, you know, had these choker necklaces on that look, I mean, it didn't look good. It looked like they were in the club, honestly, you know, and stuff. So, you know, I believe that. That's the truth. It shouldn't be a fashion show. I have so much to say on this.
Yeah.
You know, we had a young man some years ago who wanted to learn from us. He said he wanted to be trained, he thought. And then he moved to our church and we, you know, we had all these addicts and street kids and things in our church. They were so wonderful. And he came in and he was like going to wear a suit. And he was like 19, right? And so I went to him and I said, you know, if you wear that, I mean, you can, but it's kind of going to be oddball out. You know,
yeah.
our church right. doesn't really dress like that. And he was like really jittery and nervous and quiet. And then I said to him, cause I came from that kind of a church too. And I said, so the problem probably is you're worried about them respecting you. Cause he was a minister, right? He preached. Uh-huh. And he said, yes, he was worried they weren't going to respect him and view him as a minister if he didn't wear his little clothes. But I told him, my people don't respect clothes,
right.
Not at this church.
Right.
They're going to look at you on the inside.
Right.
They're going to examine if you're real.
Right.
They're going to look at how you're living, you know? And so that's what they're going to respect. Anyway, he didn't last very long and he went home. So anyway, it says he didn't like the fashion show. So when this guy in here named William, Big Will, told me about some Christian rap videos on our tablets, I wasn't trying to hear it. Because like I said, most of the so-called church people I've ever met were fake as a $3 bill. But Will kept on asking me to check it out. So finally, one day, I looked at the episode Bizzle interview and I found it interesting, but it was something that you said that caught my attention, Eve, for real. You said, when you tell the truth to the church, it is also controversial because we have become so much like the world. Come
wow.
on. Eve, at that very moment, I knew that you were not fake. So that is what kept me watching. By the time I watched episode 4 and heard the song Middle of My Storm by Brian T, I was in tears crying out to God.
Wow.
I want you to know, Eve, that because of your realness, I kept watching, and that music, especially that song, changed my life. Wow. I have renounced Islam now, and I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I know He is real. Real Vida TV is real. If I would have had this type of music, Christian rap, around when I was growing up, it would have made a difference, because I love music. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Y'all give real hope and inspiration, not that fake church mess.
Come on.
I love y'all. May God continue to bless your ministry. Awesome. Mm. I love this guy.
Yeah. So before I share a letter, I want to read a little scripture here that goes perfectly in line with your letter and your scripture from earlier.
Look at God.
And then we're going to do a new memory verse, because we hadn't done one in a minute. It's James chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone?
Come on.
Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, 'Goodbye, have a good day. Stay warm, eat well.' But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless." So that is James chapter 2, verse 17. We'll make that our memory verse for the week. You know, we did the Great Commission and then the Great Commandment to love God and love others as yourself. And now we got to move on to works, right? Of doing what our faith produces is acting out our faith, right? James 2:17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless.
Amen. Let's talk about just for a minute.
Let's go.
A little more about the fancy clothes, right? Because I was just remembering the Solid Gold Church. So we went to the Solid Gold Church to visit it with my father when we were younger. Well, then when I got a little older, I went to the Solid Gold Church. Like, I attended it for a while. Not of my choice, but I did. And so the Solid Gold Church, there was some fight sometimes, because everybody would go out and get a new dress for the holidays, right? And then two women or two teens or two, you know, teen women would show up with the same dress.
Oh my goodness.
No. Okay. So they'd be fighting about that. Like, you know, one lady said to another one time, I was there for that one. She said, you know, we got the same dress, but I bet mine costs more, right?
Oh my goodness.
And then the other lady said, well, I got it at so-and-so store. Well, I got it at so-and-so store. Well, mine costs more. Who cares?
Golly,
you know, who cares? We're focused on this, right?
Right.
Yeah. You know, there was another, you know, like two young people, teenager girls that had the same dress, and people were voting on who wore it better.
Well,
like, what are we here? Hollywood, you know?
Right.
So I agree with this fashion show mess, right? There's one thing, yes, about modesty, and you can be modest in a dress or immodest, or you can be modest in slacks or immodest. Modesty is a requirement of God, but fancy clothes are not.
Right. Yeah, come on.
So anyway, let me read a letter, and then you got one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to read the portion of a letter. "Hey, Eve, I seen the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day podcast. I got to ask you, would you say that God gave the first gift on this day? God gave His Son to be our Savior. Oh, by the way, my Sally and me love the podcast. My last letter, I said, doing right was something. Back at the beginning of December, across the day room from me, a young man was selling with a 65-year-old man with dementia. Youngster was not acting right about it. So he moved out. The youngster did. So I moved in to help him out."
Oh, wow.
"I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. He thinks dementia makes him less a man. He has his days when he wakes up and it's all bad. He has bad days. I just look at him and say, hey, looks like we need to get our daily reading in. It makes for a better day. And I just wanted to say thank you so much. For those of you who are having compassion and reaching out to people who need it. And you know what? What you sow, you're going to reap."
Yes.
Right.
"And so here you are sowing into somebody else's life who needs love and needs help. And there's going to come a day, maybe tomorrow, you're going to need help. You're going to need love. You're going to need an opportunity, a door open with something. And God's going to do that.
Thank
you so much. That's what real ministers do. Real people of God do, is they help others."
So fitting you should read that letter right after we read about faith without works is dead.
Come on.
Okay, so this letter says, "Dear Real Vida, as I sit here in my cell watching y'all's Christmas present to us, the prison population, I feel so loved. It's like you guys are my family. My eyes rain tears at the joy of not being alone on Christmas. Mm. I'm locked up, but I'm free.
Come on.
My family has abandoned me after a life of chaos and running the streets. After finding your podcast, my life has been filled with hope, where before I felt that I had none. I just wanted to take the time to share with each of you how you are impacting my life as well as the other guys on my unit. Truth be told, it is an inspiration of mine, an aspiration of mine to do something similar to what you guys are doing. God has put it on my heart to serve in some capacity. How it all comes together, I do not know. Like Paul in Acts 20, verse 22, I go bound with the Spirit. Wow, that's cool. I will obey the Spirit of the Lord now here in this place and out when I'm released in 2026. You know, God has put on my heart to start a Coffee for Christ ministry here on my unit.
That's so cool.
Just about everyone drinks coffee and not everyone gets money to purchase it.
Right.
I myself don't receive any funds either, but I work to earn some coffee washing clothes. So I want to take what little I have and start the Coffee for Christ ministry to spread the love of Jesus in our unit. God says to be faithful with little and watch what he can do.
That
How cool.
So great.
I desire to live a new life, a new creation found in Christ Jesus, and has put a new song in my heart, new desires, new aspirations, and meeting you guys has just added confirmation, joy, love, accountability, and peace to my life. So thank you all. Thank Jesus for the Real Vita family, loving Christ.
That's awesome. Wow. Thank
awesome.
You. Thank you. Thank you, Coffee Man. We're gonna pray in a minute.
North Carolina.
We're gonna pray in a minute. You know, before we get to some other stuff, and thank you so much. And I'm going to pray that God provide and that he open doors and ways and miracles for you to do what you're doing. It's a ministry. It's great. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Okay. Real Vida family, Mama Eve, I just watched the New Year episode and Mama Eve, you asked for us to write to fill you in on G5s. I have had the amazing honor of being a part of the G5 ministry for about 2 years now here on Telford. I'm going to do my best to fill you in. So here we go. When we first started going to the G5s, a lot of times we couldn't even get on the section due to all the burning. A lot of the times when we did get on the section, they would be yelling and shouting and banging on doors, just chaos, to be honest. But praise God, that just because it looks like chaos in the natural doesn't mean God isn't moving. Today is a different story. Now we go on most sections. They almost always respect us in God's word to the point you better always respect your G5s. They'll come after you to the point. And I am coming there, right? We've got a date to do that. You better behave because how are we going to do that if you don't behave? To the point that one homeboy would tell the other homeboy, hey man, wait until church leaves. They always thank us and want us to come back. How sweet. Now they wait on us. A lot of them have told me about that the ministry is the highlight of their week.
Whoa.
A complete turnaround to the G5s on Telford. I thank you for your respect, not only to us, but most of all for God. Every week, ministry teams go to the G5s to preach God's word and to show them a movie.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Each section gets about an hour-long service where we preach, play music, pray, and pass out prayer requests and water. While the preaching team is on one pod, the movie crew is on another pod.
Cool.
Once a month, we have a praise and worship prayer service with them. We call it Pursuit Night, where we just pursue after God's presence with them. For them to have an encounter with the living God, we spend about 1.5 hours with each section on Pursuit Night. This last one for the month of December, the ministry team came together and donated candy.
Oh.
And Maria cookies. Wow. I know those.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are Mexican cookies. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And my grandma always had those. She had a little store. And God blessed every G5 on Telford with candy and cookies.
Wow.
On December 20th, we had the honor to baptize about 60 G5s. They were able to come to the gym with no handcuffs or anything.
It's amazing.
You guys. I mean, it is changing history. It is breaking records in TDCJ, the things that are going on because you're being good because they're allowing them and they're treating them like humans. Those things beget one another, instigate one another into doing these things. It's so great. Out of the 60 I know of, 4 personally that laid down their flag. They told me the next time they call rec, I have to go and tell them I'm laying down my flag and I'm picking up the banner of Christ and holding it high.
Wow.
Praise God.
Wow. That's amazing.
That is so cool. I'm so excited about that. Okay. I'm going to read one more before we pray. And then we're going to share some other things with you. Dear Tia Eve, Theo Jeremy, and my primos and primas.
Andale.
I'm not much of a letter writer. I wrote once already and it was sort of a sloppy letter. I just don't know what to say, but thank you for your ministry. You make me cry every time I see your podcast. Just thinking of what to say makes me cry as I write this letter. I really think of all of you as my family. I've lost my uncle and aunt during my incarceration. It was hard, but at least I know now I will see them in heaven one day. My siblings placed my mom in a nursing home and every now and then I get a letter. Anyway, I have a 41-year sentence and I'm on my 16th year. I never had a chance for parole until 4 years ago. I heard that TDCJ will allow me to see parole, all God, in 2028. Praise God, if it's God's will, I can leave this place. Well, once I find a place to stay, but I know with all of my heart, God will provide.
Yes.
God honors faith. Yes. So that's awesome.
Come on.
Anyway, I wanted to say I loved your Christmas videos, both of them. I used to play that gift game in the world, the what is it called?
White elephant. Yeah.
The white elephant gift. Yeah. It brought back such good memories. Thank you. Those videos of the animals are so good. Thank you. Mm. Plus, tell Chris he did a good job singing.
Okay.
I used to sing in the world, and Chris brought back, his head's blowing up right now. Okay. Thank you, Chris, for making me cry. He said, oh those fireworks, at first it was just all right. But when I actually saw Jeremy, Chris, and Sam's boys with fireworks, well, it made it more personal.
Oh,
for one, my family cool. and I, when I was younger, we used to do that. Together, one day, God willing, I'm such a big baby. All of this crying I'm doing, he says, but they are tears of joy. Thank you for allowing God to use you all to bring us love, strength, and confidence. I'm on the Dale Hearts praise team, and now really more than ever, enjoy singing because I sing for the Lord. Amen. Once I was shooting for the stars, I wanted that big star with my name on it. Now I realize that I always have been special and had a spark in God's eyes.
Come on.
So now I just say, use me, God, and whatever you want, I'm yours. Well, God has been answering that cry. Our warden, listen to this. Our warden, so who I don't know his name, but thank you so much. Somebody tell the warden, thank you for real vida. He had us, the praise team, go Christmas caroling throughout the unit.
How cool is that?
Like, what a great idea.
Yeah, that should be done everywhere.
You guys. So those of you that are in different units and you can sing a little bit, let's get some Christmas caroling going on next time, right? He stated that he loves Christmas and wants to lift everyone's spirits.
How cool.
Especially the two wings we have with the G4s and SEG. Let me tell you, our G4s, my brothers, are on a fire.
Yeah.
They were the best. They were all having fun, singing with us and dancing. All we heard was, praise God, thank you for coming. We sang in their wings about 3 times, and all 3 times they were so on fire, not only for the music, but for the Lord. One of my brothers stated that both wings made a big Christmas card and signed it and later exchanged it with each other.
Wow.
How sweet. They are also meeting together when they get the chance and praying for their wings. I just love being around them. When my brothers, the G4s, meet with us during our Kairos reunion, they are just so attentive, joining in everything we do. As I lead music, you should hear them. I'm so proud of my brothers.
Cool.
I brag about them to everyone.
Wow.
I pray that our warden will allow my brothers, the G4s, to join us during a church service. You know that on Cofield, they've been doing G4. They allowed G4s a long, long time before anybody
else
did. Into
our chapel services.
Right. Yeah. And we've had G4s and services online all different places that we've gone. They were behind this little fence. We called it the dog pound.
The dog pound.
Let the dogs out. Ooh. But yeah, I mean, and they're doing good. And they were louder and more worshipy than the other ones.
Uh-oh.
You know, but okay. So G4s do meet on Thursdays for their church, but I'm praying that one day they will be allowed to join us on Sundays, all in God's time. I pray that I will get to hear you, Thea Eve, and Sister Sam sing once again. I sure do enjoy hearing you two sing, especially Spanish. Way to go, Sister Sam. You do a good job singing in Spanish.
She does.
Now that Chris has made his debut.
Uh-oh.
Ruh-roh.
Get him to sing more too, he said. I sure do wish you all would come here to Dale Hart. We do too. We wish too. Yeah. We will try. We're just way up here in nowhere land.
Oh.
Is it, you guys? Where's that at?
The very northwest corner of the panhandle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's not too far, you know.
About how far, you think?
10 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
Probably closer to 12, but yeah.
My goodness, Texas is big.
Yeah. The way Chris drives.
We're still gonna try, you guys, because we love you.
Yes.
Okay. Says thank you for always praying for us and for me. I feel your prayers and words. I do. Thank you. Keep on keeping on. I will keep on as well. Tell all those wonderful artists, brothers and sisters, thank you for their words of encouragement. And he's got tears there.
Yeah. Oh, so cool.
Thank you for allowing me to be part of your family, and you guys, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your family. We need you. I need you.
Right.
We need family, and we're so glad.
Senior warden at Dale Hart Unit is Warden Timothy Hooper.
You looked it up. Okay.
Yeah. Timothy
Hooper.
Yeah.
Warden, thank you so much for caring about these people. And you know that the more that happens, the more we're going to see these units change.
Right.
The violence stop, people dropping out of gangs. It can be hard to find a Christian. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
Hard to find someone who's not a Christian. Yeah.
I'm saying it's going to be hard to find people that are not Christians. Right. That's what I meant to say.
Right.
That's going to be hard to find. It's going to happen. It's already happening. Right. It's taking over. It's snowballing and it's going to keep snowballing by the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. We're going to pray.
Right.
Let's pray right now. In fact, Father, we come before you in agreement. God, we just thank you for all that you are doing.
Yes.
Father, with the fours and the fives and the sickers and the death rows, God, and general population and the PCs and the ECB and the high security and God, those that are in building 12 all over the place in Texas, and God, Arizona and Washington and just all over the map. Lord, we're one family and we call out to you as one. I want you to join me wherever you are right now as one.
Yes.
I know you got your hands on the tablet, right? We're holding hands right now, all of us in one circle. Who knows how many are with us, thousands upon thousands. And we're in agreement right here, right now with every field minister that joins us and peer educator and every general population and every seger, every Christian, every believer. Father, we call in your name. Father, we ask, God, that you just keep the snowballing. Make it faster, God. By your Spirit and by your power, raise up warriors. God, those that didn't even know they wanted you, and now they're going to spread the gospel all over the place. Thank you for all of those who have come to you, God. By your Spirit, you drew them. They couldn't come by their own, but you drew them, God. And Father, pour out your Spirit in your favor. More volunteers with the Spirit of God that can go in and love these people and share, God, your word. And Father, make it easier. Make their time go by, God, easier as they worship you and they care about others around them. Father, we give you thanks for all that you're doing. And we're so glad to be a part of it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So now we're going to share a clip of testimony from Seven. We're going to share that with you guys in maybe a few songs if we've got some time after that. Hopefully at some point we'll have Seven live in the studio. I know he's really busy. He's got things going on. He's working in his community. So we're going to share this for now because I know a lot of you have been asking. We want to see some of his testimony, although his lyrics tell a lot of his testimony in his songs. But here it is, and we will see you next time. God bless you. We love you all so, so much.
A lot of people, they always ask me, like, when I got saved, you know what I'm saying? And I've grown to understand that throughout my life, like, God actually been saving me since I was born. I grew up in a super strict, like, religious, you know, home. For me, Christianity was more about like rules and regulations, not necessarily like personal relationship. I didn't really understand God to be personal. I just looked at him kind of like how you would look at a police officer in your community or something. Like, it's somebody who enforces rules, but it's not anybody that you really want to kick it with. And we moved around a lot when I was a kid, never really having any deep roots in any community or any social circle, like constantly being uprooted. Like, it was really hard for me. Every new environment you were put in, you know, you got treated a certain way. And my heart would always be crushed because all I ever wanted was love. All I ever wanted was people to accept me. And just being treated so evil, like over time, it started to harden my heart. What ended up happening when I moved to Sacramento was I had made a friendship with my a young kid in New Mexico when we lived out there. That friendship meant a lot to me because I didn't have a lot of friends, you know what I'm saying? And he ended up dying soon after I moved away. When I was 13 years old, he died in a car accident. And I already wasn't really good at like expressing my pain in a positive manner. I had developed a habit of self-mutilation. I always had suicidal thoughts as a kid. I just knew I was always hurting and angry, and it was growing worse and worse and worse. And so when my bro died, that's when I kind of just like let go of any care about life or my future or anything like that. I just kind of like just fell into an abyss, you know. That's the first time I started self-medicating, you know, really young, 12, 13 years old, stealing bottles of NyQuil out the store, you know what I'm saying, walking around drinking them. You know, started smoking weed, snorting prescription pills and, you know, different things like that. Just anything to try to numb myself. I started drinking, you know, really young. And I felt that desire for acceptance, I started getting hanging around with local gang members and stuff like that. And the Damus, the Bloods, they actually took me in, you know, and treated me like, you know, their version of family. And once again, not understanding God's love and what true love really looks like, the world was able to lie to me. These streets was able to lie to me and suck me in with that false sense of brotherhood and fellowship. And my parents didn't really know what was going on with me because they're not from that lifestyle. The enemy was able to use me to bring some of these generational curses into the family, and I'll forever regret that. And I just was constantly going to people who didn't care about me for advice, and they were kind of, you know, advising me deeper and deeper into my own destruction. And I remember my depression had got so bad, me and my father ended up having a conversation where I pretty much denounced the Christian faith, the Christian culture, because it was a major part of my household. You know, I really felt like, you know, if he's so good, then why are we suffering? Well, if he loved me so much, why do I feel like nobody loved me? So what I did was that night after that conversation, I was just so beat up and at that point so demonically influenced, I walked into my room and I ended up putting my gun to my head. And in the moment of having that gun to my head, man, sitting on my bed, man, the Holy Spirit straight, you know, fell on me. And I felt like this overwhelming sense of love and peace and acceptance. You cannot deny that feeling. You know what I'm saying? And it literally reached through my body, man, and it touched my heart and it changed me. The God of the Bible that I always thought was this impersonal, fake entity that either he wasn't real or he just didn't care about us. That God, man, he came off them pages. He came off them pictures, them fake pictures on the wall and all of this stuff that we have misrepresenting him, man. And he jumped into my real life and he really touched my heart. And the evidence of that was I was changed from the heart, though, not just my behavior. My behavior changed because my heart had changed. Where in my past, when I was feeling isolated, I didn't feel like God was personal. So I felt like I was in this black hole by myself. Now I don't feel that way. Now, you know, God's like literally with me, in me, you know, around me, like everywhere I go. And I felt his presence and it was deep. My pops, his best friend at the time was a brother named Ron Canole, who was one of the biggest praise and worship leaders in the 90s. And he had sons, and me and his sons actually grew up together in the Bay. When I finally made the switch to come to the Lord, they were kind of waiting there with open arms to kind of embrace me and introduce me into, you know, this music thing, because I had also made a name for myself, you know, as a young upcoming rapper or whatever. And so I wanted to use, now that I recognized I had this gift, I wanted to use it to glorify God. It was a real burning desire in me to take what I had given to the devil and take it back and give it to the one I should have been giving it to the whole time. Went back home to Cali, and a couple weeks later, I'm sitting in jail and, you know, stressing over that and fighting this case, and then really realizing how cold the game is, because the same people who were cheering me on, like now that I had did this, you know, they was acting like, you know, I was the devil incarnate or something because I made a mistake. And that really hurt me. I allowed that offense. I can't blame them for how I responded to it, but I allowed that offense of being kind of shunned for a mistake to really grow and give me an excuse to kind of like go back to the comfortable place of a hardened heart that I had before. And so for 10 years, I lived with this huge chip on my shoulder. And a lot of it was triggered when I was a kid. Myself and a bunch of other kids was molested, you know, by church people. It took me back to that, of just being betrayed by people who are claiming to be people of God. I got heavier into the drinking. I got heavier into the drug abuse. And I always had one foot in, like I knew the truth, but at the same time, I had no fellowship. I didn't even have a real deep understanding of the gospel. I just knew God had touched me. But I was making music and I was putting it out, but I was from the heart. My biggest thing was I just want to tell the truth. Like, whether people feel like it's right or wrong, this is where I'm at right now. I don't want nobody looking up to me. I don't want nobody thinking that I'm the way to go, because I'm not. You know what I'm saying? I myself need a savior. I used to tell people all the time, don't try to be like me. I don't even want to be like me. Let's get to Christ together. So my music was meant to be that bridge, you know what I'm saying, for people who were kind of stuck in limbo like I was. And so I ended up starting a ministry called Hog Mob that was kind of modeled after almost like being a Christian gang, where The HOGMOB meaning, it stands, acronym standing for Hooked on God, Ministry Over Business. But I was very immature in my faith and I made a lot of mistakes. And so after 10 years of just living in this terrible cycle, I end up moving out of state. I had got this girl pregnant when she was having twin boys. Man, I end up moving out of state to, you know, go see if I can find a better way to provide for them by legal or illegal means. You know, whatever happened, happened. And when I went out there, she ended up getting in a car accident and my twin boys died. And the same day, my little bruh, who 3 days before that I was with him and God had told me to preach the gospel to him, but I had so much secret sin in my life, I didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? I failed him miserably and I thought we had more time. In my mind, I was like, well, let me just, you know, I'll be positive with him right now and tell him something positive. And then I'm gonna go live a little bit better so I could be a better example. And then a few weeks later, when I got some good time underneath me, then I'll come back and I'll, you know, share the gospel with him. And we didn't have 3 weeks, you know what I'm saying? We didn't have 3 days. And the same day that my kids died in that car accident, later on that night, my little bruh got smoked. He got his brain knocked out his head, gangbanging. And I actually had to listen. He died on the phone while the homies was talking me through it. And there was nothing I could do, you know what I'm saying? And I live with that every day of my life. This is my little bro. Like, we were super close, you know what I'm saying? And the last thing I told him was a lie. I told him, the last thing I said to him was, I love you. But I didn't. Because if I really loved him, I would have told him about Jesus Christ. And I didn't. You know, that's one of the things that really fuels a lot of, like, my desire to, like, make it known. Like, there's nobody in my life now, no more. Like, if you hang around me, you're going to get that gospel. You're going to have to reject it because I'm not going to not give it to you. You're going to have to say no to God. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to know his word. You're going to know his truth. For me, that kind of, like, sparked something. I remember when, as soon as they told me he was dead, I dropped to my knees in the alley. I just cried out to God. And I was like, whatever you got to do, man, to change me. You know what I'm saying? I just failed my brother. I felt worthless. Like, you know, I'm no good at being a gangster no more because you changed my heart and I can't even get this ministry thing right because I don't got the heart to do what it's needed to do sometimes because I'm still too concerned about people loving me and caring about me and being accepted that sometimes I shy away from preaching the gospel, man. And I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. Just lost my kids, you know, couldn't even be a father. You know, I couldn't protect them from that. So I just dropped to my knees, man, and I said, whatever you got to do, you know, to bring me to my knees, whatever you got to do to cause me to completely surrender to you, do it. And he said, I just did. And the message was clear, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't in control. I wasn't in charge. You know, there was something greater than me, and I need it, and I need him in my life in order to get through this. That's one of the major steps towards where I'm at today, you know, was that day. And then shortly after, one of my brothers in the faith came and on tour with me, and he actually sat down, he opened up the word, man, and he shared the gospel with me, like, from the Bible, though. You know what I'm saying? I never really had that. I've heard, like, children's stories or people telling it, but actually to open it up and systematically take me through from my depravity, you know, all the way through to God's grace, man, and even him preserving me in this process and stuff. I never heard that. I never knew. I never knew about the sovereignty of God. It actually, like, caused me to, like, almost, like, feel this anger towards God. I actually, like, prayed, and because it was late at night, I went and laid down, and I said, okay, Lord, this is what's up. I'm finna go to sleep, and if I wake up hating you, I'm gonna assume that you don't want me as your child. You know what I'm saying? And that you've basically, I've whatever, grieved you to the point to where you've let me go. And I said, but if you change my heart and I want a burning desire, I want a relationship with you like something I've never known. It's since the day you touched me when I had that gun to my head. Like, I want a burning fire and passion for you, your word, your spirit, your presence, and all these different things. That's so undeniable that I can't even resist it. Like, it overrides my flesh. That's what I asked the Lord for. And I actually went to sleep, man, and I woke up and I've never been the same. You know, never. I was reading for like 10 hours a day. Like, I was craving the screen. It was like I was having my, you know, food for the first time. Like it was a crazy experience. And he honored that prayer because once again, I came to him honestly. You know what I'm saying? And so from there on, I really started realizing like the importance of people having people who not just preach at them from a pulpit, but actually who are willing to walk and do life with them. So that's what the Lord kind of has encouraged me and taught me and molded me into being for a lot of brothers. So now with Hog Mob, as before, it was just kind of like this ragtag group of dudes who, you know, we claimed God, but didn't really know him that well and different things like that. Like now the Lord has, as he's matured me, he's also matured the ministry around me to where now we're a global discipleship network. I myself have kind of taken on, you know, the role of becoming a domestic missionary and being developed and groomed for that. I gave up my home, you know what I'm saying? I don't even, right now, I don't even have a place to like call home, you know what I'm saying? It's wherever God sends me today, that's, you know, what it is. I hear a lot of talk about, you know, radical Christianity. Radical Christianity at its basic level is radical. Anybody who's watching this, man, you know, you're not looking at somebody who went to college. You're not looking at somebody who, you know, knows the Bible from cover to cover, in and out, or went to seminary or nothing. And I'm not knocking none of those things, but what God has graced me to be able to do, I'm a validated gang member, felon. I got stamps on my passport for the gospel. You know what I'm saying? And what the Lord can do and where he can lead you and where he can take you if you just say yes, you won't be able to comprehend it. And stop trying to be radical and just embrace the Holy Spirit, man, and let him change you, and he will make you something radical because God is radical. When Jesus Christ was on this earth, he was radical to the point they felt like they had to get rid of him because he was a problem, you know? And that's why the Lord already tells us how to deal with persecution, because it's a guarantee for all those that follow him. So I just want to encourage everybody, man, stay in that word. You know, make this stuff your culture, your practice. We can't claim that we love God, but then our appetites are worldly. Ask the Lord to deal with you with these things. If you have any addiction, the Lord can change you. What God has been able to do through this ministry and just through one person who's not nothing special, you know, my talent, this is God's talent. He put this in me. And whatever he's put in you, man, it'll work if you work at it. And you put it to work, man. Serve God with whatever you have and let him take you where he wants you to go, because it's better than where you headed on your own. I promise you that. And this is 7, and this is the truth. Now I dare you to live it.
Order's been given. We finna ride out. Not now, but right now. Gonna demon right down. Know they gotta lie down. Know where to hide when we slide out. Devils getting wiped out. Cycles ain't died out. Front lines in a fight now. Finna go grind out. Putting in work, what I'm about. Let me tell you what real life about.
Real for work. Respect, honor, and integrity. And loyalty for the Lord. Yourself and family is everything. And the word of God, the only weapon we gon' ever need.
SMOBC the beam. My Bible, my rifle, I'm gunning at everything. The devil keep testing me. You safe where we at? Pray to God they step to me. I know this my destiny. The music, the movement, you brought out the best in me. I cook with the recipe. I'm good with the rock when the devil be pressing me. And you see the weaponry. We never reload, we got text like a referee. I move with it separately. My shooters on go screaming God over everything. And look how you blessed me. Made me a soldier that's ready to die for his infantry. I left my past willingly. My sin had me bad, but I beat it like Billie Jean. And this ain't a drill for me. OG on his way told me go on a killing spree. My life is his ministry. Put my all in my walk and the blessings came instantly. I can't show no sympathy. The devil my enemy, punish him physically. Join a militia. Either you fighting the war or you end up a victim. I'm free from my prison. Peace off the leash. Boy, what's a go to gorillas? Beware of my hitters. I kill my flesh every day. I'm a serial killer. Bible inside of my sniper. Boy, devil living fear my trigger.
Made man bringing war.